This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mistress Carrie, weekdays 10 to 3 on WAAF. Podcasts are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you fine.
Oh, great.
Is this Ed?
Yeah, this is Ed.
Oh, I'm totally sorry you got put on hold, dude.
Oh, no problem.
How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Thanks for calling me.
Oh, you bet.
Reviews on this Ultimate Tour with Bush are huge.
Yeah, we had our first show last night at Foxwoods, and it was incredible. We just had a blast, and we're off to the races for sure.
I was just reading the review of the show on Billboard. They called you a shamanistic-looking Stanley Tucci.
I like that, and I love Stanley Tucci.
Well, I just wanted to warn you that before you come to Boston on Tuesday, Danielle from our morning show has this weird nerd crush on Stanley Tucci, so you may want to up your security.
Okay. Yeah, I'll look into it. I'll have to read that review. I don't read them very often, but that one sounds pretty good.
So you're on this tour with Bush, and you're both celebrating massive anniversaries because Throwing Copper came out 25 years ago and 16 Stone came out 25 years ago. And my mind is blown that those albums are that old.
It never ceases to amaze me how that feels now to just be on the stage and feel how powerful the music still is for everybody and for us and for the fans. And then we're like, wow, it's been almost 30 years since we started the band and started put out our first album, and it's incredible.
Are you the only rock star that has managed to work the word placenta into a song lyric?
I'll probably retain that in perpetuity unless somebody gets really brave. But I'll always be first and probably the only.
Yes, I'm still amazed that you were able to get it in there and get it to work right.
Yeah, it's a mystery, but we'll take it.
Well, you're reissuing Throwing Copper. And so you're not just doing a digitally remastered version of the album. You've put a lot of bonus content on there as well. Tell me about the archives you went through to find this stuff.
Yeah, well, you're right that it is remastered, but we really focused on the vinyl because, you know, that's just what we're into and really, wanted to make that special. And so there's, not to mention, the original 14 songs on the album, but there's three unreleased tracks on there. And our single from the album is a song called Hold Me Up that was recorded during that session, which we really are excited about. And then the other album, piece of vinyl in there is a mixed and mastered version of our 1994 Woodstock performance that Chad Taylor, our guitar player, put together in the studio and mixed it, and it sounds great. And so the whole package is really, really cool.
Okay, so I have questions. You brought up Woodstock. I was there. Me and a bunch of friends, we rented a school bus and drove it out to upstate New York. So I was one of those heads in that crazy footage of you up on stage looking at that massive crowd. I know what watching you was like from the crowd. What was that performance like for you?
You know, it's funny. When we were doing the liner notes and talking about, the experience everybody had at Woodstock, and I related it to this guy that I think we just watched the Super Bowl or something, and one guy was like, it was such a blur, I don't even remember, it was just, I was in the zone, and I feel that same way. It's like I have to go back, I have bits and pieces of it. I remember I was pretty nervous just because we had never been on a stage that big in front of that many people, but I also remember just feeling like we really connected, and it was just probably a real milestone now looking back on it, because everything after that was when Throwing Copper really caught on, and it all started kind of with that Woodstock performance. So pretty incredible.
When you bring up Super Bowl references, you can just go ahead and say Tom Brady. It's fine.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Tom, but it was somebody. I can totally relate to what you're saying right now, because when you're in that moment, it's like there's so many things happening. You're just trying to stay focused, and like you realize, like, I kind of feel like I wasn't there, but I know I was there, but I was just rocking so hard. The zone, man, the zone.
Did you get to stay and watch any of the rest of the show, or did you just hop on a helicopter and get the hell out of Dodge?
We left. I know that we were, like, touring like crazy. You know, I mean, that's what we do anyway. We do it all the time. But that I remember. I do believe we left right away because we had somewhere to be. But, you know, and also then we did the 99 one, too, and I remember leaving that Friday night and then getting to wherever we were and going, like, oh, it all went kind of tits up after we left. Like, what happened, you know, like with all the fires, all that stuff. So we were, we were in and out of those.
I was at the 99 one as well, and MTV and everybody else had kind of unplugged all their broadcasts. So we actually broke the story about the fires and the riots because we were the only media outlet that was still broadcasting from Woodstock.
Yeah, like when we were there Friday night, it was great. It was like, oh, yeah, what was it like? Oh, it was great. Did you see what happened? No, what happened? You know, it was that kind of thing.
Well, it was great for you guys because you had catering. We were paying $12 for a bottle of water in 90-degree heat.
That is not right. Yeah, let's talk to somebody.
You're a perfect example of somebody that has massive success with a band, and then along the way in the journey, ventures out on their own. And I've said it 1,000 times on the air, the bands always get back together because they realize what they had was so special.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the bands end up back together, they end up back out on the road and actually enjoy it more the second time around. Is that true for you?
Absolutely. 100%. You know, I life, you know, you go through these, you know, big chapters, and we were a band for, you know, before the break, we were together since we were 13 years old, you know, and, you know, decided on a break that ended up being longer than everybody anticipated. But you're right. It's like, you know, we have a level of confidence and sort of gratitude for each other that we never would have gotten to, I think, had we not gone through what we did. So, yeah, we're having more fun now than I think we ever have.
I was interested to read that Throwing Copper sold over 8 million albums.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have one of those giant 8x platinum plaques, and where is it hanging in your house?
Oh, yeah, I totally have. I have all my plaques out in my little studio room. Yeah, absolutely. Hung all the platinums. I like the gold ones, too, because those are, like, the hard-fought one. Like, once you go, it was, like, back then, like, if you could get to gold, that was, like, just this unbelievable accomplishment. And everything else, that was, like, gravy. But the golds are really important to me. Like, I like to see those because I know how hard we work.
And with an album like that, that is just filled with hit song after hit song, I was surprised until I read all of the press release information about the reissue that there were songs you guys left off. Why would you leave songs off of an album like Throwing Copper? Where have they been?
Well, you know, I mean, in those old days, you know, when we were looking at the limitations of time for a full stereo CD, it was like 52-54 minutes, something like that. So we had, you know, just by nature of that, had to limit it to the 14 songs that we picked. And then you know, the three that we had extra, they just were there, you know, sitting around. And and so it was exciting. It was kind of like a time capsule going back and looking at that stuff again, and then and going like, wow, you know, not that we forgot about them, but just having them reemerge and finally get to get released was pretty exciting.
Do you think it would have been harder for Live to get signed and get that gold record like you were talking about the 25 years ago? Or do you think it would be harder to pull something like that off now?
I think it's much harder now. I mean, in terms of the metric of, like, you know, sales and how things have shifted so profoundly towards streaming and online and downloading music, you know, which obviously started in the late 90s. Yeah, I'm much, much more difficult now because, you know, there's just nowhere to really buy records anymore. They don't. It just isn't the same business. So, you know, I think measure things differently now. Like, you know, it's always about for us, you know, the touring is, like, you know, really important part. It always has been for us. So we always gauge, like, how are our shows going over? How are we, you know, are we put on the best show we can? You know, we're focused on that more than ever now. And of course, you know, we care about the other things and try to make the records as good as we can. But, you know, it's more for us in this stage in our career, we're really hyper focused on the touring, probably more than ever.
I've been asking a lot of the bands that I've talked to and that have been coming in the studio, and I'll ask you the same question. Do you feel that there's a resurgence in rock and roll right now? And what do you think that's attributed to?
Well, I tell you, from my perspective up on stage with Live now, it really feels like people are just so excited to be in this live concert environment. It's as if, like, you know, now with so much going on social media and everybody's on the phones all the time, it's just this moment where, you know, people get together and commune and rock out and feel like it's one, you know. It's like in sort of united in this feeling of excitement about the show and the records of the band. And I do feel like there's an extra special kind of quality to, especially the festivals too. There's an extra level of just interest and excitement about something actually happening in front of you, you know, as opposed to on your phone or on your laptop or whatever, you know, on Netflix.
I feel like part of it too, I mean, you even see it with, you know, some of the pop and hip hop stars that are incorporating live bands into their performances now, is that there's this dangerous aspect of performing the songs live, that it's unpredictable and imperfect.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's part of the excitement of it. I think people are valuing that more and more these days, you know, that experience of it's not canned, it's not, you know, too overproduced. It's just what it is, and it's spontaneous as much as it can be, you know. And I think people really they need that more than ever, because the world is becoming more disconnected from that experience as we get more and more technologically advanced.
What are you doing right now? It sounds like you're on a motorcycle or doing CrossFit.
I'm on a boardwalk. I'm walking down the boardwalk in Atlantic City, so it's a little windy. I'm sorry.
Does it smell?
It's fine. No, it's kind of cloudy. And have a nice stroll here. Chad Gracie's with me. And we're just taking in the sights here of good old Atlantic City.
Well, I promise you the view from the Pavilion in Boston on Tuesday night is going to be way better than Atlantic City.
I'm looking forward to that. Can't wait.
Ed, I really appreciate you taking the time to call me today. Congratulations on the reissue. I'm glad your Woodstock 94 experience was as overwhelming as mine was.
Thank you very much. And, yeah, look forward to having everybody hear that. And we're pretty excited.
Yeah, we'll see you on Tuesday.
Take care. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
Mistress Carrie, weekdays 10 to 3 on WAAF. Podcasts are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.